Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
You've probably heard of the Sermon on the Mount. Well, this is the sermon on the plain, on the level place that Jesus steps down onto this place. And everybody can get as close as they want to Jesus at this point. You know, you might feel like, oh, there's people who are so close to Jesus and I'm far away from Jesus. You can get as close as you want to Jesus. Just take another step today. And so all these people are crowding round. It says everybody tried to touch him because healing power went out from him and he healed everyone. Not some. Healing power was going out from Jesus. And then, I'm going to take some bits of this and skim it through a little bit. But it says, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. What blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow me, the Son of Man? When that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors treated the ancient prophets just the same way. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If somebody slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If somebody demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try and get them back. Do to others as you'd like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get any credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get any credit? Even sinners lend expecting a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great and you will be truly acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge others and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will all come back against you. Forgive others and you'll be forgiven. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Then Jesus gave the following illustration. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into the same ditch? Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. Why do you worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you've got a log in your own? How can you think of saying, friend, let me get that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite! First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree's identified by its fruit. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, but you do not do what I say? I'll show you what it's like when somebody comes to me, listens to my teaching, then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it's well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without foundations. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. Lord, we thank you for your word. Pray now that you'd help each one of us to be able to receive something from your Holy Spirit so that we'd be able to take nourishment into our spirits from your word and that we would grow. And the way that we grow is to grow more like you, to grow more like our teacher, more like our Lord, more like our Heavenly Father. Supernaturally do that, we pray, as I speak now. Amen. In a bedroom in my house, there's a wardrobe door. And if you open it, there's like strange markings, these different sort of etchings. But it's not from some sort of, long lost tribe or whatever. It's not hieroglyphics that need to be interpreted. There's names and there's dates and there's these lines, and they're all at different heights, different levels. And you know exactly what I mean, because you've probably got something, some of you, in your own house. If I would go to my mum's house, there's a wall there. It's probably been painted over by now, but there was a time when, like in our house, Zoe would go and get the kids, she'd get Hannah or whatever and say, stand against this wardrobe door and we're going to put this book on your head, and then we're going to get a pen and we're going to write down your name and how big you are now. And when you're a kid, it's like, oh, this is such a good thing to do, because especially if you're like me, I was quite small and skinny at school, and I would look forward to that. To be able to see that I'd grown a little bit was like, come on. You know, and even if it was that much, I'd be, write it in. You know, I want to know that I've grown. I want to know that I've grown physically. And, I'd sort of compare myself maybe with my brother and my sister and all of that kind of thing. Oh, well, I'm not as big as you. Yeah, but I'm older. You're older than me. And, all that kind of stuff would go on. And as a parent, it's like great to see that your kids are growing like that until there's suddenly a growth spurt. And then suddenly you think, oh, no, this is going to cost me a lot of money. Now we're going to have to save up and buy new shoes and all kinds of stuff because they've had this sort of spurt of it. And if you knew me as a child, then you'd know that I've grown physically, of course. And, somebody reminded me the other day, it's 33 years ago that I joined the police cadets here in Manchester. And I was under the height limit when I joined. And, they had the height limit then. But obviously, I've grown. I'm bigger than that now, thankfully. And I promised them that I would grow when they gave me the job. I was 16 and they said, you're under the height limit. I said, no, honestly, I'm going to grow. And I ate a load of food, and I did all of the exercise, and thankfully it happened, and I got over the height limit by the time I was 18. I've definitely grown. But what about other areas of my life? What about our lives? How do I know if I grow? I can't tell that. I mean, I can tell I've grown physically, and these days it's mostly sideways. But how do I know? I can't measure that. I can't sort of get my Bible and sort of measure how high I've grown, because it's not the same kind of thing. How do I know I'm making progress? How do I know actually I'm not going backwards spiritually rather than wanting to go forwards? Because even if it is a goal for you, growing spiritually isn't a given. It isn't just happening. The thing is, usually if you're a kid, if you haven't got some disease or something that's wrong with you, chances are you're going to grow. But you could be a Christian. I've known people who've been Christians a long, long time. But I'm just not even getting into judging, but kind of think, have you really grown? You can go back to a day when that was the time when I met Jesus or whatever, but then some days you sort of think, see, how do we know that we've grown? How do we measure this? Some people, the way that we measure it is that we equate growing with learning. We think learning is how. So if I learn the Bible, there's an awful lot in here you can memorize, isn't there? All those books, you can memorize, loads of scriptures, and it's a good thing to do. I like memorizing scripture. You could learn so much. You could become the king of Bible trivia. You could know all kinds of stuff about the facts of the Bible and what king followed what king and all that kind of stuff. You know all of that. But the people who knew the Bible best in Jesus' day were who? The Pharisees. And as we know, he came and fulfills all these prophecies about what the Messiah will do, who the Son of God will be and what he's going to look like and all of that. And they tick all those boxes and then crucify him. So just knowing lots of stuff about the Bible isn't necessarily growing spiritually. Other people equate growing with going. And what I mean by that, I mean going in the sense of going to church. Just turning up. The thing is, you don't change just because you walk into a building. You don't become a fireman or a firewoman just because you walked into a fire station. Going into the building and being there isn't what counts. Coming into the message prayer day, being here, sitting and listening through it all. You could do all of that and not grow anything spiritually at all. You could go to church week in, week out, never miss a Sunday. And not grow at all. So what do we mean when we talk about growing? Well, Jesus here tells us. And if you remember, when he started off, he was speaking to his disciples. He's looking at his disciples, the people who say that they follow him when he says this. This isn't an evangelistic sermon. This is a sermon for disciples about how we grow spiritually. And he mentions some things. He teaches them. Probably the greatest sermon anybody's ever taught, if you think about it. It's a great sermon for me as a preacher because I look at it and it starts with a poem. And it's got a joke in the middle. And it's 3 points. So, you know, great sermon, Jesus. And then he talks about things like how you can rejoice in tough times, how you don't have to let hatred and hostility rule in your life, how you can have the kingdom of God operating in you, how it's possible for you, even if somebody mistreats you, not to have to live like that and to get them back, etc. He does all of that, and everybody's nodding and everybody's loving it. It's like, oh, great joke, Jesus, that one about the guy with a big plank in his eye. Did you hear that one? Fantastic. He's great, isn't he? I'm like, go on, Jesus. Amen. You know, and some people are taking notes on it. I like notes taking is a good idea, not against that. But people are like, oh, no, didn't quite catch that point. What did he say? And he's talking about people having treasure in their hearts, that when it comes out, you're going to speak blessing because that's the kind of thing that's filling your heart. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's a good illustration. I can see, you know, good use of language there to be able to help me to be able to picture that. Yeah, I like that. That's a good thing. And then he looks around and all these people, they're all applauding. They're all loving the sermon. They're all like, amen, hallelujah. Go on, Jesus. This is really, really good. And then Jesus stops and he folds up the notes and he says, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say? And I think it's like he's confused by it. It's like, you're calling me Lord. You're saying Lord, Lord, but you're not. You're not practicing what I'm preaching. Why would you not practice the things that I'm preaching? It's like he just doesn't get it. It's like you're totally missing the point. And I think that was important for them to hear, but it's really massive for you and me to hear, because you're in a Christian environment now, whether you're sort of new to this or not, but there's a possibility that what we can end up doing is just adding lots of information about Jesus without much application, without actually applying it into my life, without chewing over the implications and thinking, well, what does this mean for me now in my life, in my relationships with regard to how I, my attitudes, my choices, how I am with my family, with my friendships, my relationships, my dating, all these different, how do I apply this? And you can know all kinds of stuff and hear all kinds of stuff that Jesus says and miss the point completely. See, some people, it would appear, were listening to that sermon and they're thinking, well, just I heard it and so therefore I must have grown. Jesus would disagree. You see, we are steeped even more than they are. We're steeped in this mindset, the Greek mindset versus the Hebrew mindset. I'll get philosophical for a minute. The Greek mindset was that basically I teach something and you hear it and so therefore you've heard it, so therefore you know it. The information is something I receive and I've made a note of it, and it's like, you know, this is how we do the Greek idea of the university is people come along and they sit through the lectures with a hangover, some of those lectures anyway, and then eventually they maybe take a bit of an exam in it, but they get a degree and they've done it because they've endured 3 years of learning. But you can go through 3 years of learning without learning anything. See, we are steeped in this here in the West, in Europe. If you go into Manchester, you're going to see the Judeo-Christian world in which we live, but there's this Greco-Roman stuff in the architecture. Before glass and everything took over, there's all these porticos and pillars and things that are in all the buildings, and it's Greek. It's like patterned on Greek temples. And in the same way, you know, democracy, our political system, it's a very Greek idea. It's not a biblical idea. The biblical idea would be somebody who is a leader hears something from God for the benefit of the community and strikes out on a journey and people come along with them. That's leadership. The Bible, remember, is a Hebrew book predominantly. It's written by Jews. And Jesus is talking to these Jewish people, these Talmudim, his disciples. And see, Greeks think theory, but Hebrews think practice. And the idea is if you're Jewish, you don't know it just because you heard it. You only know it if you did it. Don't tell me you know it if you aren't doing it. You can't know, in fact it's community, you can't know if we don't do. See, lots of Christian churches let people get away with this too often. We do this. We put an emphasis on people believing right rather than on living right. People believing about Jesus rather than living for Jesus. And, you know, so Jesus finishes this sermon on the plain, and what he doesn't say is, now, did anybody miss that? Did you get your point that, you know, I didn't get quite right? Shall I email the PowerPoint round later? Because the power is the point. And the point is, unless you're doing this, you don't know this. Don't tell me you know it if you're not doing something about it. So this isn't a to-know list. It's a kind of to-do list, but even better than that, it's a to-be list. It's like, if you get Jesus in you, you're going to be a different kind of person than you could ever possibly be by your own self-effort. So Jesus is saying, if you call me Lord, if you call me leader, if I really am that to you, what you would do, how you would act will be different. And then if you're listening, if you've got any idea about it at all, what you'd have to do, you'd have to think through that sermon, and we had it read to us before, and you'd have to think, well, what does it mean then to be that kind of a person who Jesus talks about? If that's true, if I am your Lord, Jesus says, you'll become somebody who rejoices no matter what. No matter what your circumstances, you'll always find something that you can rejoice in. If somebody hurts you, because you belong to me, you'll have joy. No matter what. That joy will not be affected. You'll be able to tell stories, if you belong to me, of when somebody who was an enemy to you received love back instead of hatred. The times, you'll be able to tell times of when you did something good to somebody who hurt you very badly. So can we just stop? Have we done that? Have we done that? Are we doing that? When somebody curses you, when somebody says something terrible, something awful to you at work or on Facebook, if Jesus is Lord, what do you do? If you know, you bless them. Somebody mistreats you, whatever that looks like in your world, you pray for them. Whack! The slapper slaps Andy. Somebody slaps you. What do you do if Jesus is Lord? You turn the other cheek. You turn the other cheek. Who lives like that? What does that mean? See, what that means, it doesn't mean that you let somebody just abuse you or insult you or whatever. Turn the other cheek means, you slap me and I'm going to turn away. Because that's natural. But now I'm not going to stay turned away from you. I'm going to be turning back to you. I'm going to be the person who seeks reconciliation. I'm going to be the person who crosses the room and doesn't avoid that conversation, but comes and talks some truth so we can do something about repair. Rather than me just keeping my back to you and ignoring you and all of that. See, this matters in a place like this. In terms of community and how you live together. Because these are the areas. We can all pray that the devil gets cast down out of his strongholds and all this kind of stuff. But the way he does it is just like that. He wants you to keep your cheek turned away from somebody. He wants you to harbour that resentment. He wants you to hold on to that grudge and to nurse it. He wants you to go into another room when they walk in. He loves all of that. But Jesus says there's a way. If I'm Lord to you, you're not just saying it. If it isn't just Lord, Lord. If it's true, you'll remain vulnerable. You'll open your heart again to be hurt again. Because you belong to me. If you belong to Jesus, if you really is the Lord, if you're not just saying it, you're knowing it and you're doing it and growing in it increasingly. This isn't saying that we're all got it all together. But are you growing like this? You know, according to Jesus, if he's Lord, because you're somebody who doesn't just love people who love you, you won't just have certain friends here that you're going to go and talk to. You're going to go and talk to some other people. If even some people you wouldn't naturally get on with or get along with, you'll lend them something, even though you kind of think they might have nicked something, according to Jesus. Not that that kind of thing would ever happen in a place like this. You give them that other chance. Who does that? You do. Because you belong to Jesus. Because you know that that's the way he is with you. That's the way he is with me. And I want to grow to be like Jesus. That's the point of Christianity. It's meant to be that I get more and more like Jesus. That's so much what I want. From day one, when I first met him, age of 21, so far away from God, I just thought, wow, Jesus, you're amazing. I'd love to be a little bit more like you. Yet there's nobody else I'd rather be more like. I just want to be more like you, Jesus. So how are we doing? Are we growing in this? This is spiritual growth according to Jesus. It's not about knowing more Bible. Knowing more Bible is good. It's not about learning more stuff like that. It's about being kind to ungrateful people. Very practical, the kind of things Jesus talks about. Being merciful to those who do not deserve mercy. Why? Because that's how your Heavenly Father treats you. And you want to be like your Heavenly Father. It's like, I gave a version of this talk yesterday. I was in Liverpool. I was about at this point, and I said, and there's somebody here. You're the dad, and I'm talking about your son. And you need to turn the other cheek. You've been waiting for your son to turn the other cheek and to get over it and to come and make that repair. But no, you're the one who has to go and do that. And this guy, about five rows back, he just suddenly went, it's me! He was like, that's me! And he was like, pray for me, I need to do that. I know that's me. And he came up and people prayed for him. And afterwards, he was just saying, you know, I wasn't even going to come tonight. But that word was for me. Now, what would the church be like if people just grab something that Jesus said? Every week, somebody, you, here, me, grab something Jesus said and said, that's me! Out of all those things Jesus talks about giving, that's me. I can do that. I want to be that person. Let that be me. See, if you're like that, it's going to be like, I'm not being judged. I've not been condemned. So more and more, I'm going to be the kind of person. I realize I've got this whacking great plank in my eye. I'm banging into people all around me. So how can I come up to you and start going, excuse me, got a little something in your eye there. You see, the thing is with that, it's like, I think what he's trying to say, Jesus, there is something like this. It's like the things that we find fault with in other people are often the things that actually we have got a problem with in some different way. And we don't like that in me. So I really don't like it in you. So I'm going to point it out in you. You know, I don't like, he's proud him, a bit arrogant. So glad I'm not like that. When I start to think like this and read these words of Jesus, you know what? I wish I could say, right, and that's enough, stopped. Because it's good when you get convicted by your own talks. And you realise, you know, I'm just so much need to grow to get more like Jesus. Keep on needing to grow. If you're growing, then there's going to be an increase in your giving. You're not going to get it there, but you're going to find that you've given, and oh, wow, it's true. Jesus gave back. Something happened. Wow, a full measure, pressed down, running over, was given back to me. So now I don't go, oh, great, that's good, I'm going to hold on to it. You think, I get to give again, I'm going to give again. You want to be a giver. You don't want to just be a taker anymore, because God's given so much to you, more and more and more. Here's the measure, and I'm growing. And what he does, then he grows your measure in all these different ways. And you know, I'm not just saying it, Lord, Lord. He really, really is. So Jesus said it, three steps. Whoever comes to me, that's number one. Just coming, just being there. Number two, and hears my sayings. That's number two. But we don't just stop there, do we? Or do we? Sometimes we do, if we're honest. We come and we hear, and we think we've grown. Jesus would disagree. Number three, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings, and it doesn't say and doesn't disagree, it doesn't say and writes them in their journal, it doesn't say and thinks they're very profound, it isn't and looks for the deeper, deeper meaning in the Greek, it isn't and looks at those things and decides, oh yes, that's a really good sermon, I'll think I'll nick some bits out of it and make a sermon up myself. It isn't leads a Bible study about them. No, number three, and does them. Comes and hears and does something with them. It's like, you know, Jesus is a builder. It's like he's giving these materials. He's saying, here's a brick. Here's something you can build your life on. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Somebody's in need. What are you going to do? You give. How much? At least as much as you can. You practice giving to everybody who asks of you. Who does that? You can. According to Jesus. At least something. Because Jesus says when you do that, you'll be like him. You'll be like your teacher. You'll be like sons of God. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We know that, don't we? Everybody knows Jesus said that. Even if you don't know anything about the Bible, you know Jesus said, do unto others something. You know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. We all know that. Are we practicing what he preaches? Can you imagine the power if we did? Imagine if Christians were known as the people in Manchester. Imagine if people who were involved in some way in the message, they were known as the people who did unto others as they would have other people do unto them. So, you know, it's like, you know what? I wish somebody would help me out with my money worries. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take some of the money that I've got, because I've got some, and I'm going to find somebody who's got even less, and I'm going to help them. Because I wish somebody would do it for me, so I'm going to go and do it to them. I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling alone, I'm feeling a bit down, so I'm going to find somebody who I know is grieving and mourning and hurting and crying. I'm going to go to that person. Because I'm going to do to them what I would like somebody to do to me. Imagine if we were those kind of people. How amazing it would be. I'm hungry. Can I buy you a meal? I'd really like a new coat. Would you like one? Imagine if we... See, that would be what you would have to call a sign and a wonder in the world, wouldn't it? See, I mean, we talk about all kinds of stuff and praying for people and them all jumping up and all this great, you know, when you had the sickness and all that. That would be like, wow, you're the miracle people. Nobody lives like that. But we should do. Do unto others. What kind of impact would it be if we just did that? Say like 1 week, this week. What if we all agreed we would preach, we would practice what Jesus has been preaching. We would, and when I say practice, I mean we just get better at it. That's what practice does, isn't it? It doesn't mean you're good at it. It means you get better at it. Why? Because you, three people. Because you practice, we get better at something because we practice. You think, oh, I'm not very good at that. Well, practice. Who knows, Jesus said, do unto others. Hands up. 4, 5, 6. Quite a lot of people. Good. Okay. You know that Jesus said, lend to people who can't pay you back. Not like Wonga. You know, I don't mean like that. That isn't what he's saying. So that they end up in debt. What he means is, you do it and you don't expect them necessarily to return that. He said, do you know Jesus said, forgive people who hurt you. You know Jesus said that. Are we practicing that? How good are you at that? Are you growing in that? Or do you still hang on to stuff? When they exclude you, Jesus says, include them. Are we practicing that? Or are we just calling him Lord? Jesus said that what he was doing, he wanted people's faith to be able to go to a place it had never really been before. And the way that happens, he talks about two houses with two foundations. And this matters because every one of us is building a life right now. And the storms come to every single life. And this is a way, Jesus says, to build an indestructible life. Can you imagine building an indestructible life that will weather all of the storms? And he says, there's only one way to do that. You have to dig deep into his word. And that isn't about doing Bible studies. It's about doing Bible life. It's about applying it in here. That's hard work for me. I can spend ages finding out the deeper meaning of the Greek and not change my life at all. But when I've got to go and do something, that's the challenge. That's the scary bit for me. You know, and Jesus is saying, you know, you can't just keep coming to church and hearing what I say and not disagreeing with it and making a note in your book or whatever and then not living it out and think that's okay. Because you're not really growing. It's not enough. See, we think if we turn up, sit up and listen up, we grow up. And it isn't necessarily so. Show up does not mean grow up. We've got to do something. doing something. It's like nutrition. You know, you can believe all you want in the value and benefit of good nutrition and read all the books about it and all that kind of stuff. But what you have to do is step away from the KFC big bucket. If you wanting to practice it and not just... I've got books about exercise. It's one of my things I like to do is to read books about exercise. But none of them really make me fitter. I have to do something. Yeah? It's true with Christianity, isn't it? You know, you can have all those celebrity gym workout DVDs on the shelf and all that kind of stuff. Doesn't matter if they're just sitting there on the shelf. So that's why what you'll find, however, is I've found over the years, if ever I'm talking to somebody and they start to describe to me a time when their faith really grew, they're going to say, it's like I was in some meeting or I was reading the Bible myself one time, and it was like Jesus' words just went, psh, and there was this thing that he said to me to challenge me to put into practice. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to just hear that. I want to do it. And so I decided I was going to take a risk and have a go at doing that. And I went out, and guess what? It was true. And Jesus showed up and backed me up, and it was absolutely amazing. See, it became real to me. Jesus' promises weren't just something in a book. They were in my life. And that's how faith always grows. So Jesus talks about two foundations. And it's not even obedience and disobedience. It's obedience and kind of apathy. It's like, I can't really be bothered doing much about that. Not right now. And do you know what? This happens every week in church, if we're honest. People come and hear and do nothing. And it's like Jesus is saying, here's a brick, will you build it into your life? And you go, I don't know, I'll put it on the pile here. Maybe one day I'll build it into my life. Or, oh, that's a nice brick, can I have that brick instead? I like that one. And we go and get all these other bricks and we sort of arrange them in some random order and we call it building a life. And then we wonder why it doesn't last a single storm. And when it doesn't, then we start saying to God, hey, what happened? Where did this storm come from? And how come this thing that I was supposed to be building didn't last and it's your fault? And he's like, no, I gave you the stuff to be able to build a life on. So, what about if we decided we would... Why if the church across the nation just decided, we'll do something. What we'll do is we will preach the same message every week, and we're not going to move on from that until everybody's done something with that. Like, don't come and ask for another brick until you've built that one into your life. And you've dug deep a foundation, and you've placed it and planted it in such a way that it's going deep into you. We're not going to give you any more bricks. We're not going to give you anything else until you've done something with that one. What if we did that? What if we hear the teaching and we say, right, let's pick one out of that. What if we all say yes to outrageous generosity this week? What if we all just say, let's go crazy generous for a week. Everybody do that. And when we come back to church on a Sunday, you say, how did you go on? People tell stories about how they did this, and guess what? It was like a full measure was pressed down and running over and poured into my lap. It was like, what Jesus says is true. What? And right, next week then, good. Crazy forgiveness week. We're all going to forgive people who really don't deserve it because we don't deserve it. So we're all going to forgive everybody anything. Because that's the 3 points, isn't it? It's what he talks about. I mean, this is basics for us as Christians, we would think. But it's going to be forgiving, rejoicing, and giving. And can you imagine if we were known as the people who rejoice no matter what? Who forgive no matter who? Who give to anybody. And just, you know, give something. Give a bit. Give what you can. Give what you can't. Do something. I bet if we just practiced what Jesus preaches to us every week and did that every week, within 6 months, we'd be raising the dead. Because that's how faith grows. And the little things are the big things. See, we're thinking, I love the big things of God. And he's like, no, the little things are the big things, and the big things are the little things to me. You get it all mixed up. He said, there's going to be a whole bunch of people who are going to stand before me on the day of judgment, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we, woohoo, cast out demons in your name and put on this massive show of all these people and did all that and did many, many miracles? And he's going to be like, sorry, don't know you. I'm not sure we've been introduced. I mean, that's a terrifying verse of the Bible for me. But rather than getting more and more information, what about building this stuff in the tough places of our lives? Rejoicing no matter what. What if you were known as the person, what you're going through right now, that you are irrationally rejoicing in this season of your life? What if you are outrageously forgiving of the people who hurt you and you just gave them another chance? What if you were the people who knew it's impossible to make an enemy out of that guy? You can't make an enemy out of him because he just keeps turning the other cheek. What a witness would that be for Jesus? If we were those kind of people, who would we be like? We'd be like him. And we'd be building an indestructible life. See, the fact that you are growing isn't a vertical thing like that. You know how we grow, how I know if I'm growing? It shows up in the lives of other people. The fact that I'm growing shows up in the lives of how much my wife knows she's loved. It shows up in how much my friends know that they can count on me. It shows up in the lives of the people that I'm leading and that I'm developing their potential and putting them first and doing unto them the kind of things that, giving them the opportunities that I'd love to have and pushing them forward and doing all of that kind of stuff. That's the kind of thing where it shows up. It's sideways. It's in the people closest to us. It's about, a year from now, I want to be able to look back and think, I've grown in those areas. I've grown as a dad and as a grandparent and all of that kind of, I want that. So here's the question, spiritual growth. It isn't about how much Bible have you learned and all this kind of stuff. That's all good. But do the people closest to you know that you love Jesus? Are you more patient with them? That's it. You could come and do a year on genetic or whatever it's called these days or whatever and end up not even growing that much. You could end up like just not being nice to your mum and dad, but great at singing and dancing. It's possible. I'm not just picking on one thing there. There's all kinds of stuff. We can have all kinds of stuff that's going on. And you know, you could know so much more Bible, but still be sleeping with the person you shouldn't be sleeping with. Or not quite sleeping with them, but doing everything else. And making all kinds of regrets as a result of that. So, here's my question. What are you going to do? What are we going to do with what you've heard Jesus say? Just sit quiet for a minute and consider that. Your own response. For me, growing means coming to Jesus, hearing what he says, taking something, it could be a promise, could be an instruction, could be a challenge from his word, and then thinking, what's that person going to do about it next to me? What am I going to do? How am I going to build that into my life? Lord, I want to practice what you preach. If you agree with that, why don't you just say that? Tell that to the Lord out loud or in your head or something. Just, I want to practice what you preach. More and more. I'm not good at it. I need to get better. I need to be more like you. I want to be more like my Father. I want to be more like my Heavenly Father. I want to be like you, Jesus. I want to grow more like you, Jesus. I'm so not like you in so many areas. Thank you, Lord, there'll come a day, the word says, when I'll stand before you and I'll be like you. I'll know you because I'll be like you. And some of that I know is just a massive transformation by your grace and you doing stuff. But I don't want you to do all the work. I want to work with you, Lord. I want to practice what you preach. So show me, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters here. You show us just one thing, maybe, a next step. Somebody that I need to go and build a bridge to. Somebody I need to give something to. Some circumstance I need to rejoice in. What is it? So I can practice what you preach. So I don't just call you Lord, Lord. But you're Lord. You're amazing, God. What does it mean? Lord, maybe it means I'm not going to condemn this week. Anybody, because you don't condemn me. You never write me off. Why should I write them off? I'm not going to judge that person because you've set me free, Lord. I'm going to give grace. I'm not going to speak anything that isn't encouraging. Because you changed my heart and you've put a new heart inside of me. So now what comes out of me is what you've put into me. And you're in me, Lord. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. And I want you, your words to come out of my mouth. I want to be somebody who encourages, builds up, blesses. And if I've got a tough word to say to somebody because I love them, then I want to do that with grace too. I want to give. I don't just want to take, I want to give. I want to wash some feet. Because you said I can, Lord. I want to rejoice no matter what. I want to include people. I want to let my yes be yes and my no be no. What about that for some people? Just be known as a person of your word. You don't change your mind. If you've said you're going to do it, you'll be there. You're going to be there on time. You're going to be there with the right attitude. You're going to be there with the things that you need to do the job that needs to be done. What about that? Just build that into your life. Decide. I'm going to let my yes be yes. I'm going to let my no be no. We're not going to say yes to everything, but the things I say yes to, you can rely upon me. I will be a man or a woman of my word. I'll be a person who's honourable. Because I want to be like Jesus. And he's all the yeses and amens of God are in Jesus. And I'm committed. I want to be like you, Lord. Cut back everything in me that's not like you. Pare it down. Rub it away. Do what you have to do. You said I can feed the hungry. Show me, Lord. You want me to go and visit prisoners? Then show me. Open the door for that to happen. Whatever it is, Lord. I'm not just calling you Lord, Lord. Sorry for the times I've just said Lord, Lord, but not done anything. You said I can heal the sick. You said I can pick up a towel and serve. And I can laugh. On a bad day, I can still laugh. I can still rejoice. I can give away a coat. I can love my enemy. I can say, you're not my enemy. I haven't got any enemies. I haven't got any enemies. I've got Jesus, and I've got friends and family and people who just need to get to know Jesus. I want to set people free like you set me free, Lord. People who are tormented, I want to do that. I want to be somebody who comforts. I want to do good to others. What does it look like to you to do something good this week? There's something you've been thinking, I wish that had happened to me. This week, just be alert for the Holy Spirit, that pounding in your heart when it's like, oh, this is it now. This is my time when I get to go and do good to that other that I wanted somebody to do to me. I want to do greater things than you said, Jesus. The greater things that you did. Lord, you said it would be possible that there'd be a group of people walking on this earth one day who would do greater things than you have done because you've gone to the Father. I don't even know what that looks like, Lord, but I want to be in that. I want to be on that. I want to be a part of that, even in this generation, Lord. People who love their neighbours, love their enemies, point to you. So if you've got something, I hope you've got a brick from God, from Jesus, to go and build deep into your life and put into a foundation today. Something that's going to weather every storm. It's the little things that are the big things with you, Lord. It's how you care most about how we treat one another, how we talk about one another, how we love one another. Lord, you said that's how the world's going to know. It's great to put on big things that tell everybody how great you are, but we want to show it in our lives, Lord, by loving one another as you have loved us. Because you said that's the way. It's the way it's going to happen. And that takes so much more of your Holy Spirit than we've got right now. So why don't you stand? Why don't I just pray for the Holy Spirit to come and water his word in our lives. And Matt and the band are going to come up and please, Lord, just water your word in our lives. Let something grow. Let it go deep into us. Let's love like we've been loved. It's not a soft love, you know. Sometimes it's a tough love, but he speaks something that we need to hear so we'll grow.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.